Fred. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limb.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Won't it, but yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Here it comes. Yeah. Check. I grew up on the crime side, New York Times side.
Ooh.
Hold on. Hey.
What am I holding on for?
Just the intro. You got to have a nice intro. Yeah.
Are you going to do something?
Oh, you want me to do something?
No, I thought I was free for
it. I thought I was having hype for it. Here we go. Making money on my day. Hardy on the right. Coffee to my left. Don't know what the flow about. Gotta go about. Get on another show and go out. Now I'm dropping lines from the...
Come on.
Keep going.
I was going.
Keep
I was on
going.
A freestyle, man.
Keep blowing.
It was like 8 Mile. I mean, yeah. It was that good.
Yeah, it was that good. It was that good.
Watch out, Marshall Mathers.
Yes, watch out. I was in the cypher for a minute. It was a good beat, though. It's good.
I'm not even going to tell my story now because it sucks.
Chocolate and thick.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, 617-779-0985. This is the voice of Jermaine Wiggins, who is on a show. I honestly don't know the station, and that's not an insult to anyone. I just don't know what it is. But he does mornings, and somehow he's joining us at 8.
I'll read the text later on that I got. He wanted to come on. He asked us to come on. And his text, I read it out loud to the room after the show when he texted me. I read it to everybody who was at our show meeting, and just the room erupted in laughter. Just because Wiggy is, I don't know what he does over there. Like, obviously nothing, because he listens to our show constantly.
He's working and is going to be on with us.
Yes.
Working at another job.
Yeah, he's going to do it.
Where he should theoretically be paying attention all the time.
He's going to do a 15-minute break with us, and no one cares.
And that show, I mean, I'm aware of the show. I honestly don't know the dial position or the station. I apologize. I'm not trying to be cool. But I know Romero, who... He's a good guy, but I think that's a 5-person show.
It's obviously one too many.
And no, I just don't think they have to do anything.
Well, Wiggy doesn't.
That's clear.
I mean, it was great. He texted me yesterday.
5 people to do, like, 4 minutes of radio.
He obviously is somewhat concerned about the way he was presented when Troy Brown was on the air. Because Troy Brown came in here and started making fun of Wiggy. And, of course, you know, it made us all laugh. And then Wiggy texts me. And once again, later on the show, I'll read you his text. And it was like he just demanded to come on the show. And I'm thinking, how could he come on when he's doing it? Yeah, it's no problem. It's no problem at all.
He can do it's like I can do any hour.
I'll go ahead and read.
8 o'clock, like 8 o'clock to 8:15, 7 o'clock to 7:15.
Oh, he's the best.
Okay. He has like 15 minutes to sit around and do nothing?
So I
think he has a lot more than that.
I got a text, yeah, and it said, what's popping? Is this Rich? And I texted back, is this the most famous person ever to come out of East Boston? He said, second behind Tony C or maybe Ratman. He goes, I heard you and my man Lock Dog were talking it up on the radio about me. How about you just let me on and then you get the real Wiggs out? And I said, you want to come on tomorrow? And he said, what time? I'm free from 7 to 7.15, 8 to 8.15, and 9 to 9.15. That's 45 minutes.
He works 4 hours a day, right?
4 hours? Apparently not.
Well, 45 minutes for each hour, hours.
I don't know, but I would imagine they're one of those shows that comes in at 5.30.
Okay.
It just seems that way, like, you know, to get the jump on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, I mean, I've done it. I've been on show. I mean, I've not a show, but I've done nights where you played, you know, 10, 12 songs.
Sure.
So, I mean, but I, you know, obviously at the top of the hour, they do, they probably play like news and then play four songs.
Or just do something that doesn't involve Wiggy whatsoever.
What is he? What could he be angry about?
I think it's four songs. I don't think he's angry.
What could he want to discuss himself?
We've been like kind of busting his balls, and then Troy Brown was in here and bust his balls.
I like that he wants to come on. I like talking to Wiggy. I mean, but I think that's obviously what it is that, you know, when Troy Brown comes in and starts busting on you, he wanted to respond. I just found it somewhat shocking that he could do it during the show he's working.
No, what was Troy Brown saying that was so far out of bounds?
It was funny. John, I don't think that he's, like, upset.
No,
I think that he just wants to come on a show that someone's going to hear him.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
I like having Wiggy on a lot, so I've got no problem with that. So Wiggy will be on at 8 o'clock.
No, Rich orchestrated this whole thing, and we have a bit in the, like, ready to go.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, so we're going to do this bit.
All right, nope, Wiggins coming
Rich
out.
And like, no, Wiggins is coming out. I'm like, all right.
Wiggy wants to come on, I'm all in.
No, yeah, this is kind of Rich's baby. I don't mind.
Would you not want to put him on?
No, I want to have him on, but it was funny because, you know, I just thought we were doing something else, and it's not that when the other thing we're doing doesn't involve me in the production phase.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, and it probably works out better than it is tomorrow.
It does.
But, you know, I just was surprised that we're having Wiggy. A lot of things surprised me about it. I mean, I don't mind. I like it.
Right. It's just weird.
Yeah. It was just all odd. I didn't know that this was happening.
At the new building, I want to have a Wiggy alarm. Which is like, if we're ever sitting in our studio and we see Wiggy just wandering around while they're on the air, like while they're actually having a discussion, we just hit the Wiggy alarm and we pull him in and say, why aren't you working? Like, what is happening?
That's his dream.
Like, literally.
Are you kidding me?
I'm looking at the studio right here and you guys are on the air.
Yeah.
Like, the red light is on. I see Ramiro talking, but you're out here, like, you know, hitting a vending machine, or you're just, you know, you're talking to Zolak.
I think there's a lot of Zolak going on with Wiggins. I think, but Zolak has to do, you know, 45 minutes of radio a day or an hour.
Right.
So I mean, as soon as those mics go off, Zolak's trampling around
sometimes beforehand.
Now, unfortunately, there's like one person here still that you could talk to. Nonetheless, it's an escape situation.
Why do I have a feeling we're going to have Wiggy on more than they do?
Once
we go over there.
Oh, of course.
I have a feeling he's going to wander into our studio just randomly and just, you know, he's going to have an opinion on things. And, like, they're not going to care over the other station. They're like, oh, wait, Wiggy's gone again. Well, we didn't plan for him to be part of this bit anyway.
Yeah. They're not going to care.
So,
what do they care about?
So there you go. By demand, because he demanded to have his voice heard at 8 o'clock, and I got no problem with it, at 8 o'clock, Jermaine Wiggins will, I guess, confront us about the things that have been said about him on the show.
Yeah. So good. I'm looking forward to that.
So that'll be excellent. On top of that, we've got Bird last night was down at the TD Garden. Outside getting recaps from the Celtics game, the not-so-good Celtics game, but we will have that, I think, at 7 o'clock?
We will have that at 7 mm-hmm. o'clock.
So that should be interesting.
And brand new stuff from the show Funny You Should Ask that airs twice every day at 2 o'clock. It is a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It is produced by, who's the guy there? Byron Allen. Byron Allen, all I remember, he was on Real People. And then if you got, like, drunk at night and you came home,
2:30 in the morning, he'd be interviewing B-list celebrities.
Right. And so, in not interviewing, he would be, like, on a junket where they would come into the room. It wasn't like, you know, they came to him to sit down. He would be at a junket. And then you would think, what a loser Byron Allen is. And then it turns out, like, he's this multi-millionaire, you know, man about town that has all these shows that are terrible.
So Byron Allen is a producer for, like, garbage. Like, shows that aren't that good on channels that aren't that big for the most part. But he does so many of them that he is loaded. And when I say loaded, guess how much money he's worth? I just checked this out.
$250 million.
Higher.
Oh, wow. $400 million.
$400 million. He's worth $400 million. And I'm trying to click on his IMDb thing. But like all the stuff is like from the Pets Network and like all of these obscure networks. But he's just so prolific in producing these shows that he makes a gazillion dollars. And think about it. Like, I mean, this isn't a very good show. Obviously, this Funny You Should Ask. I don't even know how well it does. But it's on twice a day in the middle of the day in syndication. And that's good money. You do stuff like that. It's good. Like, here's the shows. Supreme Justice with Judge Karen. I know all the judge shows. I've never heard of that. Justice with Judge Maybelline? Huh? The Verdict with Judge Hatchett? He's producer of all these shows. Who Wants to Date a Comedian? What? Whoa.
I don't know if that exists.
Yeah, it does. Who Wants to Date a Comedian was a show on 2011 to 2012.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that didn't do well.
Well, once again, this is one of those things. Comics Unleashed? Huh?
Yeah, we tie him up and then go, hey, here you go,
Animal
Funny Boy.
Animal Crackers? Anybody know what that is?
Yeah.
Pets.tv. It's a TV series. I'm looking at, I can't name, I'm not trying to be like funny here. I can't figure out, I don't know any of these shows.
But he has Louis Anderson as a regular on the new show.
But he does.
Come stand my house.
We the People with Gloria Allred?
Yeah, huh?
Gloria Allred. I mean, that's what I was just thinking. She should have her own show.
You're
she
a young did. Comedian. Come stay at my house.
Yes, I mean, Louis Anderson is very creepy.
Stay at my house. I'm lonely.
Oh, he was part of that Mandy Moore movie that just came out. He was a producer of that 47 Meters Down, the one where, hey, I'm in a shark tank and I'm at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
All right.
I would like to put myself in a shark tank and let him eat me. My dad was very cruel.
You probably would, but he is just loaded from these D-level TV shows.
Yeah.
And Louis Anderson, you're just loaded with...
Byron Allen, stay at my house.
I don't think he'd want to. He doesn't need to.
When you're younger.
Okay, well, I mean, he's loaded right
you're now. That's incredible. Why don't you come over and stay? Look at you. You're new to the Comedy Store, aren't you?
It's very...
Why don't you come over to my house and stay?
That sounds nefarious. I don't really like that tone.
No, it's nice.
Okay, I appreciate it. Star of Baskets. Thank you, Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
Speaking
I'm
of
on Baskets, it's really funny.
Speaking of Baskets, I'll put the lotion in it for you.
And now, speaking of Baskets, my father used to beat me with a lotion.
Yeah, I know. Yes, that's not a funny joke, but you tell those jokes.
Yeah, he was an alcoholic.
Okay, thank you. I don't know why anyone would go see you do stand-up.
Well, because I'm relatable.
Okay, all right.
That's why I eat. Because of my father.
Okay, thank you, Louis Anderson. I appreciate it.
Are you a young comic?
Inviting me over?
Or? Not to stay.
Oh, okay.
L.A. can be a lonely place.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I'm getting creeped out a little bit,
yeah.
Louis Anderson. But why are you touching my shoulder? I wish you would stop.
Because I'm... Dad didn't touch me.
Yeah, I know. It was very, there was not, you know, there was like, not caressing. There was no...
No, not caressing, just holding me.
Yeah, I know. You were not loved.
You never said it.
Okay. Thank you, Louis Anderson. I appreciate it.
I'm on the Family Feud. I ought to have a family.
Okay, all right.
Are you a young comic?
Thank you, Louis Anderson.
You want to stay at my house?
I don't think anyone wants to stay at your house.
That's the big thing. Apparently, Louis Anderson, very generous to young comics, wanting to stay at his house.
TNR, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, the Celtics have become more depressing to watch than Louis Anderson stand-up.
Rebound for DeAndre Jordan, and Kyrie is having a rough start. 1-for-5. Lou Williams, right-hand dribble, blows right by Kyrie. Handoff, Jordan, two-hand slam. Some teams don't want the break to come. Some teams desperately need the All-Star break. The Celtics are one of them.
Well, a team that used to pride itself on its defense got destroyed by the Clippers, allowing a season high in points in the Celtics' 129-119 loss last night at the TD Garden. As you can tell by the score, offense wasn't the problem. Kyrie once again dialed in, notching a team-high 33 points and 8 assists, but on the other side of the court, Oh, it was gross. Clippers cannot be stopped.
Teams have caught up to what the Celtics are doing. The Celtics have not gotten better, and a lot of other teams have. But still plenty of time left in the season. Lou Williams drives, scored, and the foul, and this thing is done. The Clippers going to win it going away. Celtics had a four-point lead here in this fourth quarter. But since Doc Rivers took that early timeout, it is now 30-14 L.A. run. And the Celtics, who were such a good fourth-quarter team early in the year, have not been during this run.
So seven Clippers finished in double figures in scoring, and they somehow let DeAndre Jordan score 30 and grab 13 boards. And to add insult to injury, when the Celtics tried to foul him to do the hack of DeAndre to get him to the free throw line, seeing that he is one of the worst free throw shooters in the league, he was all of a sudden nails, hitting 8 of 9 shots. And as a team, the Clippers hit an unforgivable 50% of their shots. As far as Kyrie is concerned, he knows that defense is a matter of effort, and that's something that has to be fixed pretty soon.
Going into All-Star break, where we are mentally, you know, that'll really, you know, be the difference. And then the physical tools, that could take care of itself with experience, but you got to want it. So I know I want that mother. Excuse my language.
So once again, Kyrie, one of the few things you can actually say are going well with the Boston Celtics. But Brad Stevens also knows this All-Star break couldn't have come at a better time and says maybe the success we've had up to now might have been an illusion.
I think teams have outplayed us. I've said all along, I don't think we're all that we were cracked up to be during our 16-game winning streak, and it's probably hit us more in the last month than it hit us before, and teams have outplayed us.
In fairness, he has been saying that. Even during that big streak, he was like,
games,
yeah, he was like, I don't think we're playing that good basketball. I think we're squeaking out some of these wins. So the Celtics have now lost 3 in a row, 4 of the last 5, 9 of the last 15, and I know some Celtics fans don't want to hear this, but they miss Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart doesn't solve this.
No, it doesn't solve it, but he's a guy that gives 1,000% on the court no matter what month it is, no matter what the score it is. Yes, he makes awful decisions offensively, but this is a team that can cover offensive mistakes. The defense, that's something that's contagious. You see one guy in your team playing your ass off, usually the rest try to step up their game.
I know,
they need someone who gives a rat's ass on defense, and they have right now nobody. I know Kyrie's putting together an effort. Al Horford's putting together an effort. It's not good enough.
I understand Marcus Smart will help solve some of the things. And yeah, you know, when he's out on the floor, people will look at his effort and things will change a little bit on the defensive end.
It's true. It's the main reason he's valuable to this team.
I agree with that. And he's a very special defensive player. But you put him back in that lineup, that doesn't gloss everything over, regardless of what chemistry he might bring. This is a complete malfunction, a complete breakdown over the last couple of weeks. They're in a lot of trouble unless things change soon, because Toronto has won 5 or 6 in a row. Cleveland is better. I'm still not sold on how good this new lineup is going to be. We'll see what happens. But Toronto is your main competition at the moment, and Toronto is playing as good as they've played all season long. Grandy was right. There are a lot of teams in the East that have gotten better. The Celtics have been running in place for a while now.
I've learned long ago not to put too much stock into, like, right before the All-Star break. But with Brad Stevens, I expected more. I expected him to be the guy because up to this point, we are led to believe, and there's a track record to prove it, that he can motivate players when players should not be motivated. At some point, pride's got to kick in, and you got to take a look at what's been going on since you went to London and go, this is disastrous. We were first place and had a nice little cushion, first place in the East, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden, we're looking up, we're 2 games behind the Toronto Raptors. And how did we let that slip away? It was by effort. Lack of effort. And it's really nothing more than that. You take a look and it's just they're not getting back fast enough. They're getting lazy. I know that there's been a couple of guys whose offensive performance have gone down. And we talked about Jason Tatum with Mike Gorman yesterday. Jason Tatum was actually okay yesterday. But still, he's a guy that... But you're going to expect things like that from younger guys. Even like Jaylen Brown, you have to expect that. They can't continue to be amazing the entire year because they're just too young. But effort is the thing that's pissing me off. And the fact that Brad Stevens, on a Brad Stevens team, I haven't seen that is the one thing.
On one end. They had tons of open looks last night. They just didn't shoot the ball well. They had more shots. They had more free throws. They made 15 threes last night. I mean, they offensively, they scored 119 points. That wasn't like garbage time either. They were scoring at will. It's effort on one end of the floor.
Sure. Although the first quarter was disastrous offensively.
Well, yeah, they were down 14.
But then again, we've learned this. And that's another thing, is the Celtics, for as being as good a team as they are, and they're their record, and even when they were winning, they're not blowing out teams, and that concerns me. They're not even blowing out bad teams. There has been, I think, only two Geno times at the TD Garden this entire season. That's crazy. Even like last year's team was blowing out bad teams, and they're not doing that. And I don't know if that's that you've got two really young guys in the starting lineup. I almost can't justify it. And Kyrie Irving has been very good, but he's also not a guy that's going to put a fire under your ass defensively. And that's the one reason why Marcus Smart, you're right, he's not going to solve all your problems. But what's the biggest problem? It's the defense right now. And he was that's his most valuable asset, is that the dude will scramble for a ball when they're up by 20. Evan Turner said it best. He is a dog, and I guess he's going to be back after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
He was taking shots yesterday. Isn't it weird we're in a place where we're all of a sudden looking at Marcus Smart and saying that he's, please come back, we need you soon?
Yeah. Yeah, we are, but that's where we are at the moment. Yeah. And we're past the trade deadline now, so the guys you have are the guys you have. They all got to play better. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say embarrassing, it's just stunning to watch this team play now after watching them the first 2-3 months of the season. It's two completely different teams.
Yeah, and once again, it's shocking that that Brad Stevens is letting him do this. But once again, I don't buy into anything. We'll see what in the month of February, I don't buy into it. When we get back, after John Wallach's headlines, something amazing happened. One of my favorite storylines does not die, and that is Videogate, the tribute gate for Isaiah Thomas. It took a turn last night, believe it or not.
Fantastic.
Rajon Rondo and Isaiah Thomas had to play each other, and both got ejected.
Oh, it was great.
And when you hear the explanation as to why and what started it, it is really, this tribute video thing is the gift that just keeps on giving. Rondo will not die.
Rondo's great.
He really is.
Rondo's a special, special person.
He really is.
Isaiah Thomas set himself up, and now that he's failed,
he's being mocked by everyone.
But,
mercilessly.
Rondo just won't let anything go.
And that's why, if you're a player, Rondo's just got to piss you. He's got to get to pissing you off. And Isaiah's just so fragile right now, and Rondo's found a center in him and just like dug into it.
Isaiah Thomas might have ruined his career through hubris. Like, he came into a situation where he acted like he was the man, failed, and I don't know if that you can shake that stink off yourself.
Yeah. When we get back, must hear audio from yesterday's Pelicans Lakers game. Rondo versus Isaiah Thomas, and it got personal.
Yep. And then Lonzo Ball said, will you please hand me a mirror? And then it shattered when it looked at his image. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.85 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. By the way, today, Pucks and Paddles, our event with the Boston Bruins. Rich and I are very excited. Very little for us to do.
This is great. Fred and I get to enjoy ourselves. There's a host who's kind of going to be running things.
I don't know who she is, but she is... it's pretty cool because she's doing everything.
Yeah. I think she works for the Bruins Foundation, which I like.
Fair enough, but wherever she works, it just means we don't have to do nothing.
Which would be good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you think? I want to do more? And, like, Cuts for a Cause that was, like, filling 2 hours with hacky comedy. Now we can just,
play ping-pong.
Do whatever we want.
Some of us want to be playing ping pong longer than others. We're going for the gold, Fred.
Well, I'm not good at it. And, if you're my partner, you can still hang out, but
you probably have more fun not playing, actually getting to mingle with players and things like that.
Yeah, like if you bid on me and like your whole thing is to win, you've grossly misinterpreted what my goal is at this thing.
Unlike Scott Zolak, who said he would play like beer pong with you, which
that's not going to happen.
I know it's not, but we even called him out on that.
Well, no, but it was interesting because I've had like three people I know that work. One guy that works for the Red Sox, da 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 da, and they're like, "Oh wow, beer pong!" And then like Nick was like, "Oh wow, beer pong!" Like, what planet are you on? Wait, what do you think? All of a sudden, like, they're going to get, like, glasses out and fill them with beer and that this is going to be happening? I mean, this is a well-run charity event featuring the Bruins.
Right.
Like, you think they're going to just, like, start letting you play beer pong?
It's going to be weird to see the disposition of these players, too, because, you know, what percentage of guys on the team did not like getting their head shaved?
I would say 80.
Okay. So there's a little bit of hesitation and fear in their eyes when they show up, and this time it's something they're going to look forward to. I have a feeling it's going to be the happiest you've seen the Boston Bruins at one of these events.
And you might think it sounds corny, but, I mean, these guys are exceptionally competitive, so it might be... Now, not all of them, but I would imagine a handful of guys are going to take this fairly seriously.
Oh, sure. Without a doubt.
Like, once they get into it, they're going to want to win. I don't know. We've never done this before, and it's sort of out of our hands, so it's going to be interesting to see how this works out.
They do, like, 8 tables at a time, is what it looked like on the setup, is that there's 8 ping pong tables at a time, and so I guess they're not doing it by time. They're doing it just by first to 21. I don't know how that works. But then, so for, like, 2 straight hours, they're going to work to the final table to see who ends up ultimately winning.
I'm drinking the whole time. We got nothing to do.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And
I'm not doing shots or anything, but I'm drinking the whole time. You know, and then the Bruins will get pissed because I go into their backstage area and take all their beer. Me and Bob Beers, that's generally the two of us, are the ones responsible for draining their supply. And maybe this year they're going to hang out a little bit longer and they'll even get more pissed.
We shall see. All right, so last night the Lakers played the Pelicans, which means Rondo got to go one-on-one with Isaiah Thomas, and things did not go well.
Now again, Rondo and Isaiah wrestling a bit, yapping at each other. Watch that if you want to.
Rondo has to be very careful.
Uh-oh, look out. Look out. There it goes again. I was going to say the referees went right in there. We're going to get a technical foul. Isaiah's going to pick up the tee. Don't get thrown out, IT. We might get dual technicals.
There obviously is some bad blood.
Look at Rondo.
He's kicking them both out.
They are both out of the game.
It was great. And Rondo's just like right in his chest. Not giving him any room to breathe. And so they kick both of them out. And that is like, they didn't even last a quarter together. So after the game, everyone's like, all right, what's the deal? Why did you... Well, let me just start with this. Let me start with Rondo's response. Okay? So here's Rondo's... I have it right here, Fred. Yeah. So here's Rondo. Rondo was asked about what was going on between you and Isaiah Thomas.
If you want to keep making this a story, it's not nothing.
No. I'm just saying... It's only because of what you said before. I just wanted to catch your reaction to Dwight backing out. No comment.
Say what I'm saying.
All right. Y'all trying to make this a story. No comment. Whereas Isaiah Thomas... How long is that clip you got, Fred?
2 minutes.
Okay. And that's just part of it. All right, Isaiah. So what happened out there on the court?
Whatever reason, he's an upset guy about me. I don't know what it is, but it's fine. Like, I can't control that. He kept bringing the tribute up when I was the one that shut the tribute down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rondo's just got him. I mean, if I'm anybody, I'm just talking about this video tribute. Oh,
crawled right inside his head and sat there.
I mean,
every time
failure.
I hit a shot over him, tribute.
That's
like,
right.
I mean, anytime you just, you know, break his ankles, tribute.
This will be on your next tribute video.
The fact that you bitched about your tribute
video. That could not have gone worse. The idea that you put off a tribute video because you wanted to be playing in the game. And then you got traded because you were such an a-hole and such a bad fit for that team. And you got traded to a team that's it's going nowhere this season. Yes, things could not have gone worse for Isaiah Thomas.
Well, Rondo was the one who ripped on Isaiah Thomas. Where he goes, why would we give him a tribute? What has he done? And they said, oh, wait, what are the Eastern Conference Finals? He goes, oh, that's why we're doing tribute videos now?
So yeah. We
get the Eastern Conference Finals?
He's there for 2.5 years. They want to give him a big tribute video.
So
maybe this is just a lesson. Don't give tribute video.
Maybe.
At all. Just never do them.
It's for anyone.
When Paul Pierce comes back, I guess, you know, when he... was nice enough to let you trade him to Brooklyn, then you gave him a tribute video.
All right, so he continues.
So, I mean, I'm far past that. I'm on the Lakers trying to figure out how to help this team win.
You're not far past that.
And by the way, that's a puzzle you can't solve. Trying to figure out how to make that team win.
Apparently, all you got to do is keep Lonzo Ball off the floor, and they keep winning.
Well, that's a surprise.
For the things that happened today, happened to me to get ejected is uncalled for.
Isaiah, did you guys have any previous history before this whole video thing?
I mean, my team beat his team in the playoffs last year. Maybe that is what's wrong. I don't know. There's nothing. Nothing should have made that escalate like he did. But he already had his agenda written down right when I checked in the game. It was obvious. Picking me up full court, trying to be physical. It was obvious.
Were you, when you first heard those quotes that you had about you not saying that you didn't deserve a video tribute, like, were you surprised by that? What was your?
I mean, I was surprised. I think a lot of people were, but it. I think the world made it bigger than what it was. Okay. Like.
You made it bigger than what it was.
Yeah, we talked about it because you were talking about it.
Yes, and then you decided that when you wanted it to happen, how you wanted it to happen.
The world was on Rondo's side.
Who the hell starts talking about wanting a tribute to themselves?
Like that dictating when it happens.
Yeah, no, I don't care dictating when it happens. Who in their right mind, like who goes to the Oscars and says, you know what, I need a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Like, but don't do it this year. Like, I'm pretty next year.
No, but I'm pretty great. Like, I deserve a Lifetime Achievement Award. You know, they should do it. They should do it.
Oh, and imagine if Garnett was still playing. Like, I mean, because he learned that. Rondo, you know, learned that from Garnett. Garnett, better than anybody else, would get in your head.
Yeah, then
and just say stuff.
Then you would push him, and then he would run away.
That's probably true, from what we've heard. But, I mean, Rondo nailed it. You want to frustrate the hell out of, I guess, one of their best offensive weapons, you bring up something like that.
Everybody who's been on the team for a while has gotten a video tribute. I mean, Patrick Beverly.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's a stupid video tribute. God. Just.
I don't want this story to die.
He's so unbelievably dumb.
Every player who plays Isaiah, I want you to bring in the
video
tribute.
He's not over it. He just wants a video tribute so badly.
The Lakers should give him one. First two games, or everybody he's played.
Video tribute. Just relax.
Everybody who's been on the team for a while has gotten a video tribute. I mean, Patrick Beverly got one in Houston. Chris Paul got one in with the Clippers. It's like, they didn't win no championship. But it's just the respect thing. Like,
oh my God.
He said what he said. Stop. I laughed it off, and it was what it was. I'm the one that stopped the video tribute from happening because I wanted Paul Pierce to have his full night, and I didn't want to take anything from him.
No,
that
Paul
wasn't
Pierce.
It at all. That's
no,
not what traded. Happened.
Paul Pierce
that
said
is
he
not
didn't
what
want
happened.
It.
No, and then you got traded.
Yeah, but he's talking about before that. Paul Pierce said he didn't want it on
that's
his
right.
night.
You were so like, oh, Paul Pierce that. Gets a whole night. I mean, why can't I have my thing early?
Yeah, who? Oh my God, with the video tribute. The most insecure human being on the planet. Well, it's how he psychs himself up. Okay. I guess.
And I know he played on Paul Pierce's team, and he's going to always have Paul Pierce's back, which is fine, because I didn't lose sleep over it. But it was obvious, continued to be brought up with what happened tonight for whatever reason.
Okay.
Did piss you off?
And by the way, that's not it. Then he started to go on to say,
Isaiah, obviously we saw it. We couldn't hear it. What happened between you guys?
Video explains it. I don't know what was going on with him. But I don't know why I got thrown out. I don't want to comment too much on it, but it was obvious what was going on. He was being too aggressive for whatever reason. And then he also hit me in my face three times. So at some point, like as a human, like if nobody's going to protect me, I got to protect myself.
I mean, listen to the difference between how Rondo handled that and how Isaiah did. Rondo's clip is 8 seconds of him going, y'all want to make a story of this? No. He goes, I'm done. I'm done talking to you. And then Isaiah goes on and continues to just bring this thing up. And good for Rondo. Like, don't you want a guy like that on your team who just pisses off other players and gets, and you know what? They're best off. And the Pelicans blew him out last night. Blew him out.
Scored 140 points.
Yeah, great. It was like 137 or something like that. Yeah, they absolutely blew him out. You got their best offensive player off the floor because you brought up something that's way too sensitive for him.
Yeah. Well.
And in a way,
very weak mentally.
In a way, this might actually help the Celtics. You would think the Lakers would be out of range for that 2-5 pick, and they're still about 4 or 5 games ahead of it at the moment. But Isaiah shows up, and they lose back-to-back games, and they give up like 130 or 140 points both nights.
Back up the Brinks truck.
Is it possible that Isaiah could help the Celtics out one final time?
It sucks that we're not going to see that again, probably, what Isaiah did when he was here. I mean, because he was one of the most exciting players in the NBA.
No, you're never going to see it again.
But you're not going to see it again. And now you're learning he's just emotionally fragile. And everyone knows now how to get in his head and how to screw him up. And it's funny. To me, it's just funny how sensitive he is about all this.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did Brad Stevens have to do to get that guy pointed in the right direction every night?
I told you what he did is that he gave him the ball. He was the center of the offense. Yeah. He gave him the ball and they were winning. Everything's okay when you're winning and that you get you're the center of the offense. Then when that doesn't happen, you become a complete baby about everything. I mean, he's cost himself tens of millions of dollars. Because even if he played somewhat mediocre this season, people could have chalked it up to his back injury, and then they could have done physicals and figured out that he was okay.
Right, yeah. There's always an excuse.
And you know how the NBA works is they overpay everybody. But now, no. I don't want Isaiah Thomas on my team if I'm a general manager. I want a 5'8" guy that gets injured and is a pariah in the locker room. No, I'll waste my money somewhere else. And somewhere else that doesn't deserve it. All right, we'll return in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Thatcher and Rich. Rich, what else is happening?
You know, even though Dan Roach is not down there at spring training,
not getting back to anybody. Did he get back to you?
Nope. He's not gotten back. And that is, I mean, unbelievably not like him. He gets back right away, usually, so it is very strange. And he's working, and he's doing his thing, but, you know, we've speculated on air as to why he doesn't want to get back.
Sleepwalking through it.
He might be, but there is somebody down there that is making spring training at least somewhat worth following, and that is...
Hey, this is Dan Shaughnessy's hair.
Dan Shaughnessy's hair.
Hi, my name is Dan Shaughnessy.
And I have one question.
One question.
Do you know the fro?
Do you know the fro?
Do you know the fro?
Dan Shaughnessy of the Fro, asking questions, knocking down doors, shaking trees.
Well, the thing is that he's like one of four people there.
Right. So he has plenty of FaceTime with all of the players and personnel. And
his Fro is free to take over everything.
After a serious amount of ball busting that he did to David Price the other day.
Oh, happy Fro Day.
It was a very happy Fro Day when you did that. He spoke to Dave Dombrowski, and I believe this has the question in it as well. So here is Dan Shaughnessy with his question to Dave Dombrowski.
When the season ended, was the plan to be where you are now, to come back with basically the exact same team?
By the way, first of all, we don't have the same exact
the birds living in the fro.
Did you hear that in the tweets? Right.
Yeah, he's got a birds living in his fro.
So is the plan essentially to do nothing?
Yeah.
Just to come up with the exact same team?
And then he's putting the worms in his hair.
Just feeding the birds?
He's eating the worms and then taking them and the
he's baby birding
it out.
Himself,
and then, putting them in the... Every time he talks to his birds... He's got a white afro, quite literally, because there's bird crap all over it.
That's right. I got to hear Dombrowski say, I mean, Shaughnessy's the best. This is great.
When the season ended, was the plan to be where you are now, to come back with basically the exact same team?
First of all, we don't have the same exact team because we have a lot of injured players back, which I think is very important for our team. Because we have a lot of pitching that's coming back that was not healthy last year.
Mm-hmm, into that.
Squish.
There goes the fro.
Excuse me, Dan. I can't hear over the ruffling of birds. It's very difficult for me.
That's great. There's birds.
Do you know the fro?
Yes, we do know the fro, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's gum and twigs up in there now.
Well, of course. I mean,
I was the classiest carrot top in the press box. So fluffy.
This really is the best. So they're sitting there. They're like, oh, because we didn't make any moves or anything. We literally have to stand in front of just Dan Shaughnessy.
Yeah, he's the only guy there.
It's great.
And his bird friend.
And he's relishing the fact that he's asking these guys these questions and making everybody uncomfortable. It's making it somewhat fun, to be quite honest. And then there was one guy that you can't really hate on, but that's Chris Sale. I mean, he petered out at the end of the season, but he talked about that. Here's Chris Sale on how to... basically extend himself to be effective at the end of the season.
Once I got home, kind of reflected on the season, that was kind of when it was like, all right, something needs to change. Like I said, I came into spring training, I think, a little too prepared. You know, I felt like I had something to prove last year, too. You know, I'm here in a new city with a new team, and, you know, felt like I had to kind of prove myself.
Yeah, and he continued to go on to say that he's trying to figure out a way to at least last throughout the season and not do what he does usually in that last month.
Yeah, finding a way to maybe adopt one of the birds in Shaughnessy's fro.
My Fenway fluff.
Yes, he's got a bunch of Fenway fluff. That's right. You know, it's...
Jiggle me like a Jell-O mold.
Yes, that's right.
Because you know that squish. You know when he gets in the humidity of South Florida, that thing just goes berserk.
Wobble, wobble.
That's right.
Whoosh.
Do you know the fro was the best? I don't care.
People didn't
says.
Like it. I thought it was great.
I loved you know the fro.
Yeah. And it even went beyond what my idea was for it, which I'm not saying came up with the idea, but my idea for it was just. To play actual highlights of events was just a rubbing noise.
Larry Bird's blonde bushel.
Well, he was kind of a fro as well.
I think Larry Bird had a perm.
At one point he did, yes. Yeah, at one point he did.
I believe he had a perm.
Yeah, I think he did.
My frizz factor at 10.
Yes, that's right, it was.
Oh, happy fro day.
Let me hear this.
The year was 1986. Happy Days was ending its run. So with Donnie Most off the tube, Ralph Mouth, I was now the most famous fro in town. The Fenway press box was packed. I accidentally blocked the view of my fellow writer, Bob Ryan. So in order for Bob to see the action, he had to part me like a field of grain. And then it happened.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first. Behind the back!
The color of my Fenway fluff matched the anger of Red Sox Nation, and my towering tresses deflated with sadness. Squish. Do you know the fro? Know the fro? Squish.
See, that's the sound.
Do we have
of
another one?
That's the sound of his fro. I believe we do. Let me see where the other one might be. Okay, here's one. Dan Shaughnessy's fro in time.
The year was 1970, and I was just a young thatch of fiery red curlicues under a burgeoning Boston sports writer. The cold ice in the rink, mixed with humidity outside, put my frizz factor at 10. And what did my amber coiffure witness? The great number 4, soaring so high that I caught a breeze from him that jiggled me like a Jell-O mold. Whoosh.
Bobby Orr, behind the net, the center, and Orr! Bobby Orr!
Yes.
Orr! The Boston
Orr! Dan underneath stood in amazement, and I popped off that hat that rested upon my cherry mound like a champagne cork. Do you know the fro? The fro?
I like that bit.
My white afro.
Of course.
Okay. We'll have recaps for you.
Hey, this is Dan Shaughnessy's hair. Dan Shaughnessy's hair.
Hi, my name is Dan Shaughnessy.
And I have one question. Do you know the fro?
Yes, we do know the fro.
Do you know the fro? My white.